The Bible helped shape America in a way no other book has. All of the founding fathers knew the Bible well, even down to their fingertips, said the late Dr. Donald S. Lutz of the University of Houston, author of the book The Origins of American Constitutionalism. Well, fast forward to today. Christian communicator Adam McManus notes, quote, "Most Christians are guilty of drifting spiritually from their moorings. Despite their profession of faith in Christ, they're not regularly reading their Bibles or attending church as much as they should. Specifically, Gallup documented in 2024, only 30% of Protestants attend church weekly, and Lifeway research revealed that in 2025, only 32% of Protestants read the Bible daily," end quote. McManus notes, however, there is a fascinating new devotional that may help. Quote, "Lieutenant Colonel Phil Cochran has written a fascinating devotional with 40 spiritual analogies from lessons in the cockpit," end quote. Lieutenant Colonel Phil Cochran is the author of the book Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Lieutenant Colonel Phil Cochran. And I'll just call you Phil. Is that okay, sir?
That's great, Jerry. Thanks for having me on your show.
Sure, sure. So you've been a pastor for years, and you've also been an F-16 fighter pilot. So it sounds like a strange, path in life, but tell us about this new book.
Well, it's 40 devotionals, as you mentioned, and it's based upon Lessons I Learned at the Speed of Sound. That's the name of the book, Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound. And it's published by Church and Family Life. CF.life is where you can get it. And it's a book that has 40 easy-to-read devotionals, a verse of the day, an analogy that I learned while I was flying in the F-16 or as a pilot, and then an explanation or a teaching of that verse and a tie back into an analogy and also how it applies to our lives today. It ends with each devotional ends with four probing questions that you can ask yourself, lessons learned for yourself, and then followed by a guided prayer.
Okay. First of all, what is the speed of sound?
Well, that varies with altitude. It's somewhere north of 750 miles an hour, depending upon the temperature of the air that's around. So it's fast, needless to say. And when you're up at altitude, it's also really kind of difficult in the F-16, especially to know whether you've broken the sound barrier or not. It usually was when we came down on the debrief that I saw on the videotape that, oh, I was going faster than the speed of sound there. So it's not something you readily know necessarily in the jet when you're punching through the sound barrier or not.
And did you learn anything when you were, doing these kinds of things? Of course you must have, because you've written about it 40 times in the devotional. Why don't you give us an example or two of what you're talking about, lessons learned at the speed of sound?
Well, for instance, one of my favorites, they're all kind of my favorites, I guess, but one is that small errors compound over time. You know, when I was flying in the F-16, especially before the F-16 and pilot training, before the advent of all the green stuff and the heads-up display where you could automatically see your course and whether you're on course or not, it was so vital that we kept our course control under control because, as it says in Hebrews chapter 2, that we as Christians must pay closer attention to what we have heard lest we drift away from it. And in a cockpit of a fighter jet traveling at over 500 miles an hour, that's very important. You can imagine that even if you're 1 degree off of course, just one little degree over a period of a mile, you're more than, over a period of a minute, 60 seconds, you're more than a mile off course. Compound that over the length of a mission and you'd be nowhere in the target area of where you were trying to hit. And so it was constantly important that we updated our course and made sure we were on course. And as Christians, the same thing applies in our lives. We must be careful that the course that we have set for our lives is the true course ordered by God's word, that even a little drift due to laziness, accepting a little bit of worldliness here, not really worrying about maybe a little infraction of away from the truth of God in our lives, where's that going to end us up at the end of our lives? And especially, I like to think multi-generationally. So when you think about your children, as you're launching them on a course in their life, a little bit of error in your life, where's that going to end them up at the end of their lives or even your grandchildren's lives? So we have to pay special attention to our course and live our Christian lives purposefully with discipline.
That's very interesting. By the way, just within this last week, I heard in a Bible story, somebody mentioned a classic story from 1980s, from the early 1980s, that was the flight, the Korean flight 007, 007. Mm. And it was one degree, apparently it was 1 degree off, and therefore it ended up in Russian airspace, and this was during the height of the Cold War, and the Russians shot that jet down. There were more than, you know, about 250 people or so killed, including a U.S. congressman, and there were a lot of, you know, there was a lot of animosity, but apparently it all began when that jet was 1 degree off. 1 degree, that doesn't sound that big, but I guess, I mean, I've never flown a plane or a jet or anything like that.
Well, you're absolutely right. That was a tragic experience. And if you've ever listened to or heard reports of that story, it's just amazing how all those events happened. But you're right. I mean, just that little bit of error, that little bit of acceptance of that error just led to tragedy. And it's the same thing in our Christian lives. And, you know, Christians as fighter pilots, we didn't just accidentally succeed, right? We planned and we executed and we debriefed and we evaluated. And as Christians, we, as you mentioned, very few wake up in the morning and spend time in God's word as they should. We live our day kind of at the speed of sound, right? In our life, as busy as we are with everything. Then we come home at night, and how many of us plop down in the chair and we start scrolling on social media or flipping through the TV channels to see what we can watch just to be amused, you know, and to be entertained. But as a fighter pilot, when we landed from our sort, we might spend hours planning a mission. Flying the mission was only about an hour long on average in the F-16. And then debriefing that mission, we didn't just land and say, okay, high five, see you tomorrow, we'll do the same thing. We spent hours debriefing that sortie to know what we had done well, what we didn't do very well, how we could do better the next day so that we could always be improving. And as Christians, I think we need to do the same thing. We need to spend time every evening evaluating our day and highlighting those things that we did well, but also those things that we could have done better. And then having a plan for how we're going to do better the next day, realizing that we do nothing in our own strength, that it's all through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. But it's still important that we discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness.
Okay, why don't you give us another example?
Well, another example that I really like would be making sure our G-suits are tight. As fighter pilots, we wore G-suits whenever we flew, and that G-suit was, imagine a cowboy chaps, you know, a cowboy's chaps that are on his legs, except this is a zipped up suit that fits around your legs and around your abdomen, and it has bladders in it that when you would pull G's in the F-16, and pulling G's happened whenever you turned quickly, you would be compressed down into your seat, kind of like what you feel on a roller coaster ride, right? When you're pressed into your seat a little bit at the bottom of a curve or going around a curve, except in the F-16, we would pull up to 9 Gs. So you weigh, well, for instance, I weigh 172 pounds sitting here at 1 G. Multiply that times 9, and that's what I weighed at 9 Gs as I was maneuvering in the F-16. And so the blood in your head starts to run to your feet. And as you know, it's kind of important to have oxygen in your brain to think. And so we would wear these G suits to make sure that we could remain cogent and able to perform and maneuver. And they were uncomfortable. We would get them fitted in life support, and they would lace these things up so tight that you didn't want to wear them zipped up after the jet. You waited till you got up in the jet to zip it up because it was so uncomfortable to walk in. But yet it was life-giving. It was uncomfortable and it was constricting, but it helped give us life because it helped to compress that blood and give us something to strain against to keep that blood up in the upper part of our body. And as Christians, we tend to avoid that constriction, that feeling of being pressed in upon. And yet in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says to enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And that narrow way, that hard way, is a compressed upon way. It's the same word that's used in Scripture when Jesus was pressed in upon by the crowds. And so in our Christian lives, if we are not feeling pressed in upon, if we are not feeling compressed, then we need to examine ourselves. Are we really walking by the narrow, through the narrow gate and along the narrow way? We like to think in our lives as freedom being the ability to do whatever I want to do. But that's not really a scriptural definition of freedom. Freedom is the responsibility to do what I ought to do. And as Christians, we need to be having our G-suits zipped up tight, having God's word in us and his spirit working in us every day, keeping our eyes fixed upon Christ and walking in that narrow way that leads to life.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, you were a pilot before you became a pastor, or was it concomitant, or how did that work?
No, I flew in the Air Force for 23 years, and it was towards the end of my Air Force career that God led me into the ministry and into pastoring a church. And I found that as I was teaching the truths of God's word, as we would work expositionally through a book at a time from chapter one to chapter whatever, that as I would teach, I was often falling back upon these analogies of flying in the F-16. And you would think that teaching to a congregation of people who had no idea about flying whatsoever, it might go over their heads. But what I discovered was is I would have young men, young women, old men, old women come up to me after the service and go, "That was so good." And it gave me such a visual image of what that truth of God's word was. And it would help them to apply it in their lives throughout that week. And so they encouraged me over the years to write these things down, and I wrote them down and recorded them, and I have over 180 devotionals in all. This is 40 of them. I'm hoping to publish more volumes, but yeah, so these have just been very powerful in the lives of my congregation to help them apply God's word in their lives, so I wanted to bless others with it as well.
Oh, that's fascinating. Lessons learned at the speed of sound. Now, just so you know, we have about literally 2.5 minutes left, so we'll just try and squeeze in as much as we can without a G-suit. Okay, so I understand Charles Spurgeon is a hero of yours, and in some ways, Charles Spurgeon helped you with the format of this book on, you know, devotions on lessons from a fighter pilot.
Well, I include a Puritan quote in each one as well. So I love the Puritans. I love the wisdom that they offer and give us. And so I'm kind of old fashioned that way, even though I was a modern fighter pilot, but I love what the Puritans have to teach. And I might add, while we have time, that Church and Family Life is the one that published this. You can get it at cf.life. And also on Amazon. It's also on the App Store. But Church and Family Life is a wonderful ministry that focuses on strong families and strong churches through the truth of God's word.
Okay, so how about we have a minute and a half left. Can you squeeze in one more lesson real fast?
You bet. This one is a little odd for maybe some people, but I love the smell of jet exhaust. I work in a place now that's across the street from an Air Force base. And when the wind's blowing right, I get that jet exhaust in my nostrils, and it just brings back home. It's great mornings walking out on a brisk flight line, getting ready to punch into the air and fly faster than the speed of sound, and just brings up wonderful memories. And, you know, that's the way we ought to be as Christians to one another. 2 Corinthians says, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." And as Christians, we need to realize that just as the jet exhaust to some people is horrible, it hurts their nostrils. They despise the smell of it. It makes them sick to their stomachs. As Christians, if we're shining the truth of God's word, even though we're doing it in love, those who are perishing are not going to like it. We will suffer persecution as Christians if we're living godly lives, right? So, but among other Christians, among those who are being saved, we are such a breath of fresh air. Just like that jet exhaust is a breath of fresh air to me. And so we need to not shy away from being the aroma of Christ in our lives as we shine the gospel to a dark world.
All right, Lieutenant Colonel Phil Cochran, author of the book Lessons Learned at the Speed of Sound, the website for the book, cf.life. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate it very much. All the best.
Hey, thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. Great. Bye-bye.